Thank you for listening to Podzilla 1985. Today we are not broadcasting in beautiful downtown Broadway in Cape Girardeau, but we are recording from the comfort of Blogzilla 1985 headquarters, which I appreciate quite a bit because it has a bed. And joining me today here on Podzilla 1985 is actually the new lead writer for Blogzilla 1985, Lindsay Wolfgang, who won't let me sleep and is forcing me to do shows every day. Lindsay, how are you doing today, ma'am?
Not too bad. I'm sorry I'm wearing you out.
That could be taken all kinds of ways. You might want to be careful with what you say on the air. We're not here to talk about that today. We're here to talk about Robotech. I mentioned doing a Robotech show with you a couple of days ago, probably about a week ago.
Yesterday, love.
Well, I mean, we talked about it before, though, clearly, because we scheduled it a week ago. Of. Yeah. And you seemed pretty excited about it. Tell me about Robotech. What are you thinking about Robotech?
It's probably one of my favorite anime that's out there. I would definitely say it's in my top five. And I found it early on in my love of the shows.
And you're a person that loves anime. I want to point that out. Lindsay is a big anime fan. I myself haven't really been as into anime as I used to be, you know, back in the late 1990s, early 2000s, when Toonami was big and they had the big shows like Gundam Wing, Outlaw Star, Big O even. And I, as much as I love those, I don't think any of those are as well known or quite honestly legendary as Robotech. You mentioned you found it early. When did you first start watching Robotech?
I actually did watch it back in 97 when Cartoon Network brought it to their Toonami lineup. I remember they did a big promotion for it that they had a premiere for it like 7 o'clock that Saturday evening or something before it was going to start the following Monday. And at the time, I was just excited about anything anime because it was new to me. I had just discovered it earlier that summer.
Yeah.
Like, my lineup at that point had been Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and Pokemon.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So this was kind of a new genre that was getting added to the mix.
You know, that's actually the same lineup that I had when I first started watching anime on KTLA out of Los Angeles. Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and Pokemon, the exact same. Now, Robotech is a pretty strange show, though, because we in America, if you're not really into it, you just know it as Robotech. But I know enough to know that it's not just one show. Robotech is actually, what is it, three different shows that they've merged into one?
Yes. Back in the 1980s, cartoons had to be, in order to be syndicated weekly, they had to have a minimum of 65 episodes because they were going to run a 13-week run of the shows. So you had to have 5 episodes a week.
Which is not a problem with anime today.
No, not at all. At the time, the first series that people would most likely identify with Robotech was Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, was only 36 episodes.
Can you say that again?
Super Dimensional Fortress Macross.
Damn. Good job. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but damn.
So at the time, the company Harmony Gold had the rights to Macross, as well as a handful of other anime that they had picked up at the time. And the project was given to Carl Masek.
Oh, with the names and the things we butcher, Zach Price alone, the butchers on this show, don't worry about it.
I know. Well, he went through their library, and along with Macross, he found two other series that looked very, very similar to it. The other two shows that make up what we know as Robotech is also Super Dimensional, Calvary, Southern Cross, and Genesis Climber, Mospita. The three of them put together create Robotech, which is basically a three-generational series of Earthlings battling aliens.
Now, is that just in America or in Japan? Does it all follow the Robotech name as well, or is it still three separate entities over there?
In Japan, I'm pretty sure it's three separate entities, but they are aware of what Robotech is at the same time because Robotech's all across the country, all across the world. As far as that goes.
Yeah, I was going to say Robotech is huge. Very much the equivalent of Gundam or Voltron in its legacy. And not only is it anime, but we're talking books. We're talking of animated movies, CDs, video games.
Comic books, comic RPGs. Books.
I know you've got
their merchandising in general, models, regular toys.
Oh, it's huge.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you've got quite a bit of it yourself.
I have a small fraction.
Well, compared to the grand scheme of things, I'm sure, yeah, but it's pretty impressive. I've seen it. It's not bad.
Mine's mostly the novels. I enjoyed it after I got into the series. It kind of continued on to what didn't get animated and filled in the gaps that were left over in the story.
And you know, actually, I didn't know that there were novels until I saw yours. I was pretty surprised because when I think anime, I think big, bright colors. I think, you know, explosions, action, kids love it. I didn't know how well that would translate into strictly reading material. But you like the books, don't you? I think you're a pretty big fan of them.
I really like them. It gives a little bit more of a deeper insight to the characters. And like I said, it fills in a lot of the gaps that the anime left hanging on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But part of what was so inventive, I guess, with the way they did Robotech is at the time they were also tying in with a toy line. I believe the company was Revel or something along those lines, but they had the rights to the model kits from Macross and Southern Cross, and they had renamed it Robotech, which is how the cartoon actually got its name, because they had invested in it. They wanted, if there was going to be the cartoon series, it had to be tied into their product. Because, as most people know, 90% of the cartoons in the 80s were all about selling toys.
Yeah, it was just a big commercial.
That's entirely what it was. Right. But since primarily they were looking at model kits, they were looking at a slightly older genre of audience, I guess would be the best way to put it.
A more mature audience demographic.
So you're getting the older kids that are interested in model kits, as well as you'd probably still have like college students sitting in it.
Right.
So rather than dumbing it down to a kid's cartoon, they made a point to try and keep the story complexities in there to the point that, yeah, you've got this awesome sci-fi alien adventure, but you almost have a soap opera mixed in with it at the same time.
Now, is it the Robotech series, is it strictly called Robotech in the United States? Because I seem to remember, you know, you and I, when we met, we talked a lot about anime because we were both into it pretty heavy. And I had watched a lot of the Action Channel. And on the Action Channel, I believe, if you remember the Action Channel, you know, for those out there.
Yes, I remember the Action Channel.
I remember watching Macross on there, or Macross, I should
yes.
say. And I don't remember the Robotech name being on it. I remember it just being Macross, which is, you know, when you told me that it was a part of the same series, I was very surprised. Now, am I just remembering things poorly, or is that actually how it was?
It is still Macross, as far as that goes. Some people tie it in with Robotech, but it's not really. It's going back to the first half of Robotech being Macross. Macross has its own extra stuff that goes on later. What you probably saw was either the Macross movies, which there's
yeah,
a couple
I believe it was
of.
One of the movies,
I think
right.
Macross 2 was the one we were originally
that,
talking
about. That was
about.
The exact one I saw, yeah.
And then there's also Macross Plus, which is another spinoff from Macross that takes place later down the lines. So it kind of all ties together, but not really. Like, the actual Robotech world is just those three early series that were put together.
It sounds very complicated.
It kind of is, and it also really aggravates, like, hardcore Macross fans.
Oh,
like,
I believe it.
It's kind of sad how much it aggravates them, but at the same time, I've met really, really passionate anime fans. I can get pretty passionate about different things myself, but I try
aware.
To be open-minded to all the different aspects at the same time.
Right, right. And we could talk about the Robotech series, the animated and the, you know, that universe all day, because there's so much source material you can talk about. But
it's insane how much depth that goes into it.
Right. But today we're here actually to talk about a specific thing, and that is to talk about the new Robotech movie, and not just a new Robotech movie, but an American movie and a live action movie. When did you first hear about this?
This has actually been in the works clear back when I was in college. So you're talking early to mid 2000s is when they were originally tossing this idea around. First go at it, Warner Brothers had the rights to the live action movie. Stuff got tossed around a bit. There was rumors that Tobey Maguire was getting involved in it and he was going to star in it and play Rick Hunter. Glad he didn't.
No, I'd watch that. I like Tobey Maguire.
I like Tobey Maguire. He is not Rick Hunter material.
No, he's the best Spider-Man, though.
Exactly. I enjoy him as Spider-Man. I will watch him as Spider-Man every day of the week, but
I don't want to
see him as Rick.
I can hold you to that. We can watch Spider-Man every day of the week.
We could. We have the movies.
Now, you said it's been going on for years and years.
Yes, it has been on hold and up and down.
I was going to say, now, is this kind of like the Akira movie, which they've been talking about doing forever and has never gone anywhere, or is this actually going
to
come out?
Well, according to the report the Variety put out, Sony Pictures has picked up the movie rights, and they are very excited about it and want to get going on it quickly. They have already announced producers, and they have a writer under their belt already.
Now, who is writing this film?
The writer at the moment that they have on it is Michael Gordon. He wrote a 300 script and also did the script for the first G.I. Joe movie. Yeah, that was my thoughts, too, as soon as I saw G.I. Joe. I did enjoy 300.
I liked 300. I was not a fan of G.I. Joe,
I'm trying to stay open-minded.
Right.
Even though G.I. Joe was also another 1980s entity.
Well, yeah, it's big now to bring back those old toy lines and to create new movies for them. You know, G.I. Joe, Transformers, even the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes.
Which I liked. A lot of people didn't like that.
I liked it.
But anime films in general, we talked about this before the show. We kind of go over a couple things. And anime films very much remind me of video game films in the sense that there really hasn't been a lot of good ones. Now,
they're not really taken seriously.
No, because they're, you know, people, they see these creations and kind of see them as for kids or as dumbed down material. You know, Roger Ebert always said that video games could never be art. And I think anime doesn't quite fall into that same category because I think it's taken a little bit more seriously as art than video games. But I can't think of many good anime movies, just like video game movies. You know, we talked about they go from the absolutely horrible, like Dragon Ball.
let's pretend that doesn't exist.
Oh, please. I'd love to.
Other than seeing Eddie Murphy, not Eddie Murphy. Wow. You need to smack me on that one.
Ernie Hudson. Yeah, I was gonna say there were two good things about that Dragon Ball movie. And, you know, the male part of me want to say that both of those things were in Emmy Rossum's shirt. But
we got to see Ernie Hudson.
Well, yeah, I was saying, in truth, it was Emmy Rossum and Ernie Hudson, and it wasn't a great role for either of them, but I just like to see them in films. There's kind of the mediocre, like Fist of the North Star, which I saw in the 90s, and I don't remember much about it. I haven't seen that one. It wasn't great. It had Costas Mandalore in it. Again, I just wanted to work a Costas Mandalore reference into the show. I'm going to write it off my bucket list. There was Blood the Last Vampire. We talked about that.
We watched that one.
It was pretty good.
Until you got to the CG monster, then it went downhill real fast.
Well, you know, I love Blood the Last Vampire, the anime.
I know. You introduced me to it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. So there's no way the movie could have ever lived up to that expectation. I thought it was okay.
I can kind of agree with that.
But, you know, like I said, there aren't many good anime films. They're becoming more common. You know, you've got Scarlett Johansson is going to star in, I believe, in Ghost of the Shell, which is coming out soon.
We'll see how
that goes over. Are you afraid that they're going to give Robotech the Hollywood treatment and that they're going to, you know, Michael Bay it, screw it up?
I am slightly terrified of that, but at the same time, they took Transformers seriously. They knew that it had a big fan base.
Well, the first movie. The second movie was an abomination.
Was the third one the other one we liked?
Yeah, I love the third one. I actually haven't seen the fourth one yet.
Ignore the second one. We haven't watched the fourth one yet. But for the most part, they've taken Transformers seriously.
Right.
If nothing else, at least seeing the animation on the Transformers, I know they can do Robotech justice. I want to see the Veritex in their huge glory they need to be.
Kind of like Pacific Rim, you know.
Exactly.
Say what you will about the film, but the robots, the Jaegers, looked amazing.
Well, that's like when it was first coming out, we all thought it was going to be an Evangelion movie.
Well, it looks so much like it.
As far as that goes. But between those two, they can do the mechs justice, and that's going to be half the battle with it.
Right, yeah. And, you know, talking about the mechs, I don't think they have they announced who's doing the special effects yet?
No, not yet. The only things that they have announced, like I said, were the producers, the writer, and they have a director they're looking at.
You said this is the director of Mama.
Yes.
I'm a big horror movie fan, as you know.
And, yes.
I wasn't horribly impressed with Mama. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I don't know how well his directing style is going to translate into an anime film, especially one about giant mechs.
Yeah.
Who's producing it?
The producers are Gianni Nannari. I think that's right. He produced the Dusk Till Dawn movies and The Departed and Shutter Island.
That's a pretty good pedigree. Not so much the second and third from Dusk Till Dawn.
The other guy they have on is Mark Canton, and he did 300 and the Immortals.
Very flashy. So it'll definitely be pretty.
And then they also have Frank Agrama from Harmony Gold. He was actually involved in the original production of Robotech on getting it all put together. And back in 2006, he was also in the production ring for Shadow Chronicles, which was the newer Robotech movie that had come out. And it was fabulous.
Yeah, you liked that one quite a bit, if I remember correctly.
Some people have a hit and miss with Harmony Gold, but I feel that they've done Robotech justice over the years. Most of the ones that hammer on them are the hardcore original Macross fans.
Right.
So I have high hopes that they've at least still got someone from the original stuff in the producer's ring. And I'm hoping that with him being in there, they'll go back to the original source material and keep it fairly true to the franchise.
From what it sounds like, none of the people that worked on the original Japanese productions are involved with this?
No. And they really weren't with the original Robotech anyways. They pretty much bought the rights to the anime. And Carl Masak, the brainchild behind this, when he was doing it, when he came up for the script, he didn't even really watch the original shows. He watched all of them silently with no subtitles and just started forming a story from there with what he saw in the visuals.
So, you know, going back to the anime, I just have to ask, how much of the Robotech series, like, how closely tied is it to the original stuff? Is it, I mean, does it follow any of the same plot lines, or did he literally just make his own story from watching this and it has nothing to do with what they had originally envisioned in Japan?
I have watched some of Macross. I've watched the original Macross movie and Do You Remember Love and a few of those other ones. And it is fairly close. I have never watched Southern Cross or Mos Pita, so those I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure theirs are a little bit different in the end because the whole key to Robotech was to make everything make sense and fit together.
Which is pretty, I mean, they did a pretty admirable job considering that it was three separate entities that they put under one banner.
Yeah, which the main thing that he actually said, and I was listening to a commentary of his on the DVDs the other day again, and what really tied it together is there's two characters in Macross that end up having a daughter towards the end of the series. And in Southern Cross, the main hero of the story is a girl. And so he kind of saw it as, okay, well, this could be the older version of the daughter of the other two.
Right.
And that's where you start getting the generational ties going through.
Now, speaking of that plot line, what do you expect from the new live action movie? Do you think they will follow the plot of the original movie, or, you know, which series of Robotech do you think they're going to follow in this? Or do you think they're going to go off and do something completely original?
That's all up in the air, really. To me, it makes most sense for them to take the Macross story and go with it, go with an origins tale, because this year actually is the 30th anniversary for Robotech.
Oh, right on.
So there's generations out there that have no clue what this show is at all, unless their parents have been into it, or if they have a relative that was into it, or just happened to fall across it in the stores. I know a few years ago they were re-releasing the DVDs, and you could see them on Walmart shelves.
Oh God!
And
don't,
stuff that way.
Don't,
I know.
Don't get me started on Walmart. We talked about that last night with Jesse and Jordan. Walmart is a strange bedfellow when it comes to putting stuff out there.
It is.
Now, what do you want come out of this? You know, as a Robotech fan, as someone that's been following it for so long and that's really excited about the new movie, what do you want? What as a fan are you expecting?
I kind of want it to go one of two ways. The first is to go ahead and stick with the origin story. The biggest thing I worry about with that is there's even so much in just the Macross saga. I'm afraid if it's one movie, they're going to cut a ton of stuff out and you're not going to get the emotional attachment to the characters that the series gives you.
Right, which was kind of our problem with the new Sailor Moon Crystal anime.
Yes.
That since they followed it so closely to the chest from the original manga, that they've skipped over a lot of what made those characters endearing to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the same problem with the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yes.
I remember you got so mad over
Hughes.
Oh my
God, I was so mad in like the first like five episodes of that series.
Yeah, because
it was still really, really good. But yeah, they just ripped out the love of a character that like half of the fan base adores.
Right. How quick did he die? Which episode in Brotherhood?
Oh gosh. It was
spoiler alert.
God, I almost want to say it was like the third or fourth episode in Brotherhood, whereas you had a good dozen or so episodes before in just regular Full Metal.
Well, it was kind of like they expect you to know the character already.
Exactly. Well, that's what it was. And with Full Metal, most people that were watching it were already aware of it. Brotherhood
right.
was just coming through and being more true to the manga.
Because how far away was Brotherhood from the original series? Do you know off the top of your head?
I really don't remember where in the books it turned, but like I know in the first one, the manga was still going on, but the anime was where it had caught up, and so they just kind of went with it.
And the original anime to Brotherhood was a couple of years?
Yes, I think so.
And they kind of, they fleshed out the ending while skipping the beginning. But
yes.
You don't think they can do that with Robotech. There's no way they can take, they can't expect the fans to already know what's going on because it is such an older series. I think
it's been too long. Like, yeah. Actual fans that were into it in the 80s or people like me that have discovered it when Cartoon Network did it, yeah, they're gonna know who the main cast is. They're gonna know their backstories. They understand that. But, like, even if I were to grab you and throw you into it, you might not remember all the backstories, even though I know you've watched me rewatch Robotech at least like 3 times.
Yeah, but
since we've been together.
Yeah, but you don't want to bring my attention span into this because you know how awful I am with my
memory. And that's exactly why I'm afraid they're going to cut everything short, because we do live in an ADD world.
So how many anime series were there?
There were 3 anime series. It totals up to 85 episodes.
Over the entire course of the
series. Over the entire initial course of Robotech, it was 85 episodes. The Macross Saga alone is 36 episodes. It's the longest of the 3.
So they're going to try to cram, you know, assuming they go with the origin story, which is Macross,
mm-hmm.
They would be cramming over 30 episodes into like what would likely be a 2-hour movie. Yeah, right.
What I would like to see them do, if they did do that, would be to make it a 2-parter. If they just did Macross, but no one ever does just a 2-parter. It always gets turned into a trilogy.
Well, with this series, I don't see how you can stop even at a trilogy. I mean,
you'd need at least 4 movies just to get through regular Macross, and that would still be sort of rushing Southern Cross and Mospita. I feel that both of those, though, could fit into one movie on their own. They're a little bit shorter. You already know the other stuff. But ideally, if they do go the whole, like, yeah, we're just going to basically serialize this movie and have 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., I would love for them to go into the stuff that didn't get animated, or rather did get animated but failed horribly at the time, which is The Sentinels, which follows up after what was Mospita.
Yeah, you know, I remember that book. That's a book, right?
Yeah, the Sentinels are all in novel format.
Right.
It was originally released as Robotech 2, which was a short, like, 3-episode miniseries movie that barely covers the first book of the novel series. And it gets a little goofy, but it's because it's the cast of Macross Saga going out into outer space to try and face these aliens that are going to be the next threat and try and make peace before they continue to destroy the Earth.
I think that was the first time I actually ever heard the term Robotech, was when I saw your book on Sentinels. And I remember being really disappointed because I opened it up. It just said Sentinels on the cover. That's all I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I opened the book up. I'm like, okay, where's Jubilee? Where's Cyclops? And it was not an X-Men book, and I immediately gave up on it. I was disappointed. Speaking of disappointment, I have to ask, anime is big in America, clearly. You see it everywhere. What other medium can they charge $40 for 3 episodes and get away with it?
Seriously.
But do you think American fans, especially now, 30 years after this thing has come out, do you think they are ready, or do they want this to come out? Do you think the movie is going to bomb like the Dragon Ball film did? Or I don't even think Blood the Last Vampire got an American theatrical release.
It might have had like a one night special.
Maybe
thing
something
like
that.
That.
And I know for a fact, Fist of the North Star didn't have a release, because I think I saw that on the Action Channel as well.
I missed the Action Channel.
I missed the Action Channel too. But do you think this is going to do well? Or do you think that they're going to put the first one out? People are either going to be uninterested or maybe just over the anime craze, and only the diehard fans are going to go see this, which will then leave the sequels as a, you know, are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it?
That's
are we going to be
left
hanging?
That's what I'm afraid of, which is why I was actually contemplating this the other day. I want it to do well. I really do. But what I feel they're going to have to do is go ahead and do an origin story, but kind of do a shortened origin story.
Yeah.
There was a gift that Harmony Gold made when they were sending out the series to various TV stations that were going to air it, and they called it Codename Robotech. And it was basically a cut-together project of, like, I think the first 13 episodes of the series. And it basically makes up what would be, like, the first season. So you have a lot of the action, but it comes to a nice wrap-up point that if you were done there, it would be okay. But at the same time, you could open it back up and continue on to the next section.
Right.
So that's kind of what I feel they need to do with it. I am really, my biggest fear actually is that they're just going to take the Robotech name, the basic ideas, and it's not going to have any of the characters. We're not going to get Rick Hunter. We're not going to get Lisa Hayes. We're not going to get Minmay.
Oh, Minmay.
I have a love-hate relationship with Minmay. I hated her at first, but over the years, I've kind of come to not necessarily support her, but I will respect defend the character. Her.
Yeah, respect the character.
Pretty much.
Now let's play a game here. Let's do a bit of fantasy casting.
Okay. Oh God, I'm so bad at this.
Well, you said Tobey Maguire was originally kind of rumored to be Rick Hunter.
Yeah.
Who do you see as Rick Hunter? Now he is the main star, right?
Yes.
Rick is the main character. Who do you feel is a good Rick Hunter?
I really don't know. That's the hardest one I've been thinking of. I've pulled a couple others out, but Rick, I can't put anybody in his spot yet. He has to be cocky, but at the same time, you have to like him.
Well, you know who it sounds like you're talking about.
Who?
Shia LaBeouf.
No.
Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Did you watch Transformers?
I did.
Did you watch Even Stevens?
I did watch Even Stevens. I liked him in Even Stevens, but no, he is not allowed to be Rick Hunter.
What about Justin Bieber?
No.
No Justin Bieber?
No. Okay. I sadly, if you're going to go that route, the only person along those lines that I can maybe see would be like Zac Efron.
I could see that. I like Zac Efron.
I'm not opposed to him.
Good looking guy, and he's a good actor, actually.
But at the same time, I don't necessarily know that he would fit that role, because Rick has to start out as this cocky, I'm the awesome pilot in the world, and basically get shot down and humbled and grow up a little bit.
Well, it's always hard to tell who's going to be good for a role until they do it. You know, they said the same thing about Heath Ledger in The Joker, or as the Joker in The Dark Knight. They're saying the same thing about Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You made a joke earlier about Katy Perry as Minmay.
I was reading through comments as I was gathering up names for this, because I'm terrible at them and knew I was not going to remember them.
Right.
And someone in one of the comments says that Katy Perry should be Minmay. And as much as I feel that Minmay really does need to be Asian of some sort, I could get behind Katy Perry being Minmay.
Oh, I could too. I could totally see. Well,
plus she could actually sing.
Yeah. Well, not if you talk to Stephanie, but that's something we won't get into. Do you think they're going to stick with an Asian cast for the Asian characters, or do you think it's going to be like Dragon Ball, where, you know, Goku, even though he's from another planet, people were kind of upset that they did not get an Asian actor to play him. Same thing with Bulma when they had Emmy Rossum play her.
Yeah.
But do you think they're going to stick to the origins, you know, the racial origins of these characters, or do you think they're going to
basically make a white person movie? To be honest, they're probably not going to. I want to see a decent mix in there.
Yeah.
Because at the time, part of what put Robotech at that next level was the fact that they were doing things that weren't happening in cartoons. Right now, it's not a big deal, but back then, one of the couples in the show, Roy Foker and Claudia Grant, that's an interracial couple right there. At the time, that was huge. That never happened in a cartoon at all.
Right. Well, it's kind of like Star Trek when they had, you know, Uhura being
exactly.
black. Yeah. They broke down a lot of barriers on there.
Yeah, I want to see the mix as far as that goes. Like, I'm not saying they have to completely stick true to the book as far as that goes. I mean, they don't necessarily have to have Commander they don't have to have Glovel being Russian as far as that goes. But I don't know. I feel like just with the story, I mean, if your name's Minmay, I kind of feel like you need to be Asian.
Yeah. Do you see a part in the movie for Scott Steiner? Could he play the Russian?
No, I don't think that. He could maybe be one of the Zentradi.
Do the Zentradi have freaks or peaks?
They were pretty big. They were 40-foot tall aliens.
Do they wear chainmail?
No, but they wear armor. I'm sure he could probably wear his chainmail hat if he really wanted to.
We can only dream.
He could maybe be Brawn of the three little, like, aliens that infiltrate the ship.
Well, I mean, with a name like Brawn, that certainly seems to fit him. Now, I've talked about the new movie, but I know you're an even bigger fan of the original stuff. I wanted to ask you, where can people go back and watch the original stuff to prepare themselves for the new movie, or just to go back and watch an incredibly good anime? You said it used to be on Netflix and Hulu.
Yes, it used to be available. It looks like it has been taken down, unfortunately. You can go the illegal route and go on YouTube. I've seen episodes up on it still. But otherwise, unfortunately, you're really looking at either finding the DVDs for rental at one of your local places, or you can go online and buy them. They had the episodes up on Amazon as well, but they're saying they're not available at the moment. So there's not really any streaming way to see them, unfortunately.
That you know of.
That I know of. On the bright side, the cost of the DVDs have gone down quite a bit. I remember you bought me my Protoculture box set way back when, and it was well over $100.
Oh, I remember that too.
You can get the whole series without bonus features now for about $50.
That's not bad.
And if you want all the bonus features, I think I saw it in there for like $90 with the movies included and all the extra stuff.
Or if you just want to check them out, like you said, check your local places, check your local Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. You'll probably need a time machine for that.
I know our Hastings has some of them.
Because Blockbuster doesn't exist
anymore. If nothing else, you should be able to at least find Shadow Chronicles, and the bonus features on it can get you caught up pretty good.
And where can people go to keep up with the new movie?
As of right now, probably the best place is Robotech's official website. It's just robotech.com. I've been following that website for years. They're really good whenever any sort of news breaks that they put the information up there. They actually regularly do convention tours, and they have their list of places that they'll go and have panels. In the past, they haven't always divulged a lot of information, partly because they either can't or it's not there. You were actually with me at a convention in St. Louis I dragged you guys to because I knew they were at there. And I
remember that.
I threw a big fix. I'm like, oh my God, it's Robotech. I have to go.
I think the thing I remember most from that is the girl that was cosplaying I forget the exact name of it, but like the Beast costume from Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. And she wasn't wearing very much. I remember you being very entertained by that.
Very entertained. And speaking of entertaining, again, congratulations on being the new lead writer of Blogzilla 1985, a position which, you know, of course I had and stepped down as so I could focus more on the Podzilla podcast. If you guys want to check out all of Lindsay's articles or some of the new writers that we're bringing in, which we should be bringing in some more very quickly, for all the latest updates, go to blogzilla1985.com. And Lindsay, I want to thank you for coming in here and talking about Robotech. I was kind of worried because I don't know much about Robotech, but actually pretty goddamn entertaining.
I guess one last thing I kind of hope that they might do with the show is I would like to see the gentleman that did the music for Shadow Chronicles come back in and do the score for the film. He did a really awesome job.
And do you know what is his name?
Scott Glasgow.
That sounds very familiar.
He stayed very true to the original music. It blended very, very well. And as dumb as it is, I kind of would like some of the original voice cast to make cameos.
Oh, kind of like they did with Transformers with Peter Cullen. And
even if it's just them doing like an announcement over something over the PA system.
Right.
But I know you've heard me a number of times, even just playing various games. I'm like, I know that voice.
Oh,
why
yeah.
Do I know that voice?
That's a fun game to play
like,
with you.
Especially Star Wars The Old Republic, when we started playing it, there's three different voice actors from Robotech alone in there.
I'm just kind of hoping to see him in the movie.
Yeah,
in some place.
It would be awesome to be like, oh, hey, that's the guy that voiced Ben Dixon.
Well, you know, when I think about entertainment, I definitely think about Ben Dixon. Sorry, I don't mean to. That's not a shot there. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this with us. Hope to catch you on here again soon, probably on Sunday when we do our roundtable discussion. But again, thank you so much.
Awesome.
Now tomorrow, I want you guys to make sure you keep up with the Podzilla website and with the, at least the Blogzilla Facebook page, because me and Zach are going to be talking about the Chris Jericho podcast, which is coming on pretty soon, actually, right after Raw. It's going to be on the WWE Network. A lot of controversy about this one because they've stopped doing the Stone Cold podcast, and everyone's kind of worried about what they're going to do with John Cena. Are they going to softball it? Is Jericho going to, you know, ask some tough questions? We will find that out. And, of course, I want to thank you guys for listening, as always. Thank you for listening to Podzilla 1985, and we will see you tomorrow.